how to follow on from that morning, really. I have the joy this morning of speaking on Empowered by the Holy Spirit to Pray. When I was given the title, it's like, God, who am I to be speaking on this? I'm going to be a hypocrite because my prayer life's not wonderful. It's not perfect. But then my life never is it? And neither is yours. So that's okay. But in my prep time, it was very different to how it normally is. And I'd got a text from Wendy earlier on in the week. I'm leading worship. What's your key core text for Sunday? And I had to text back and say, there's not a key core text. There's a whole mix-match. And actually, it's about him and who he is. And then out of that, who we are in him. So if you weren't here last week, it has been recorded. We had Rich talking on being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be courageous. So I'd encourage you to listen to it. And in what is written down here, actually some of it has already been said by God today, so that's really cool, isn't it? So I'm quite tempted to just pack up and say, come on, let's just carry on worshiping. Okay, so let's see if it works. Oh, I need to turn it on, don't I? That would help. Let's try again. Yes, there is a God. Okay, my first words in this, if you want to have a look at them afterwards, are what's just been said. God is amazing, isn't he? As Christians, we believe that we're born separated from God, that in our own efforts, our good living and all of that jazz, there is nothing that we can do to bridge that gap between us and God. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And yet God, in his passion and in his love for us, in that desire that he has for relationship, you know, he wants relationship with you. He doesn't just want to say, yep, I'm part of this club. He wants that relationship with you. And so he sends his son. We've all heard John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. So that's the truth that I'm standing on, and that's the truth in which then God comes and moves again. Because he wants that intimate relationship with you. So if you haven't got that, if you don't know Jesus, I'd encourage you to get to know him. If you don't have that intimate relationship with him, I'd be encouraging you to get before him and to get that, and you can talk to us about it afterwards. But amazingly for me, in prepping for today, was God didn't stop there. Has it moved? Yes, right, okay. William Shakespeare says, alas, the frailty is to blame. Not we, for such as we are made of, such we be. God knows us humans through and through. We are frail, we are fragile, aren't we? Has anyone met a perfect human being yet, apart from my mum? No? Okay. He knows how easily distracted we can become. He knows those weaknesses in our minds and our thinking, our self-reliance, that falling into doing things in our own strength, how easily we can give up sometimes when the going seems to get tough, or when we're not where we think we ought to be or want to be. God knows our weaknesses very well. And he knows that left to our own devices, yep, it's brilliant that he's bridged that gap between man and God. But my relationship with him, my walk with him on a daily basis, if it just rests on me, it's going to fall flat on its face. And we can just look through the Bible, stories of the Israelites, David in Psalms, all the way through, to be encouraged. God is with us as he was with them. So God again does what he can only do. He sends his Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere to the ends of the earth. And John 16:13-15, I love it. When the Spirit of truth comes, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. That's what the Holy Spirit, that's his job, that's what he's wanting to do. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So all that God has and all that Jesus has is now mine. Why? Because the Holy Spirit comes and declares it to me. You might be thinking, what's that got to do with prayer, Liz? But we are getting there. Trust me. I am so relieved that my Christian life and walk isn't about my own strength and my own abilities. Because as I've already said, I fail every time. Philippians 4, there is a brilliant, brilliant prayer, which I hadn't put up there because originally Dave was going to read it out. So, you know, my planning there. But Philippians 4, 6 to 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what's his promise? His promises and the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on a little bit more. And then verse 13 stands out. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So am I especially relieved to know that the Holy Spirit delights in being invited in to help me pray. But I've got to invite him in. So what is prayer? Come on, any ideas? Interactive today, not just me speaking. Speaking to Jesus, yeah? Any other definitions that we give it? Or words that we'd associate with it? Listening, excellent. That would be my golden star of the day. If I had my chocolates, that would be my reward. Okay. It worked, look, woohoo. Simply put, prayer is that way of communicating with God. When we want to know someone better, we spend time with them, don't we? We chat about our thoughts, our ideas, our worries, perhaps our feelings, and we listen to theirs. And we listen to their responses to ours, and exactly so with God. Prayer is that gift from God. Hopefully it's up on the screen behind me now. It is a conversation from the heart with our Lord. It's that spiritual oxygen that I need to breathe in my everyday Christian walk and life. It helps me to nurture that relationship with my awesome heavenly dad. And prayer is that act of trust in God's divine providence. Not magic words. Prayer should spring from my desire to know him better. Now, when we read Ephesians 6, we're encouraged to pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And when I was a young Christian, I'd be thinking, well, but how can I do that? Because won't I look a bit mad if I'm gumbling out stuff as I'm walking down the road or whatever? Then I learned I can do it in my head and not just verbally. No, but prayer is being aware of God, sharing with God, talking to God, and listening to God. Now, how many of us find it easy to pray? Any hands gone up? No, good. Phew, it's not just me. You know, when I set aside that time and think, right, I'm going to pray now, it's amazing, isn't it? The phone goes, I suddenly start feeling hungry, thinking about food. You know, I wasn't 10 minutes ago when I thought I'm going to be praying, but I have some time with God. Work tomorrow, distractions, but God knows me in that. And sometimes I'm not really sure how to pray. But what's really cool is Jesus knew that and he helps us in that too. Because he gave us the Lord's Prayer. Okay, so if we're not sure how to pray, what to pray, there's a structure to begin with. And when I was prepping, originally I thought I was just going to, you know, do the tweet thing and get everybody to pray these words together. And then the Holy Spirit whispered, and you have to kind of obey him, don't you? In that, no, Lise, I want you to pray that over everyone, but I want you to pause. Because I want them to meditate on what the words mean. No, our Father. He's our Father. He's our Daddy. We get to be with him. He's not cold. He's not distant. He doesn't kind of adopt us and then not want to know us. He's our Father. If you don't mind, I'm going to pray it, If it helps, you can stand, you can sit, you can lie on the floor, you can have your eyes open, you can have them closed. But I'm going to pause at different parts. And in that, I want you then to just be open. Holy Spirit, what is it you want to whisper to me? What do you want to encourage me? He might give me some words, I don't know. If he does, I'll bring them. If not, we'll move on. All right? So you ready? Okay, here we go. So, our Father. He's our Father. It's not somebody else's, he's yours. Our Father who art in heaven. He's in heaven. He's seated. His job's done. It's finished. And he's in heaven, but we can approach him in his heaven. We're not separated from him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. It's holy, awesome, majestic, great. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. That's his kingdom for you. His kingdom plans and purposes. Not yours, but his best plans and purposes that he has for you. His kingdom come. Thy will be done. What is it, Lord, that you're wanting to say to me? What is it that you're wanting me to take up, to drop, to ask forgiveness of? What's your will for me today? What's your will for me tomorrow? On earth as it is in heaven. So your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven is open. Signs, wonders, healings, deliverance, provision, protection. That's all available to us. Give us this day our daily bread. What is it that you came in today needing? Might be some physical food. Might be some spiritual food. To know how valued, how precious you are, that he delights in you, that he wants to sing love songs over you, that his heart is for you, wants to bring you that healing, wants to place you in that family. What is it? And forgive us our trespasses. He forgives us all our sins. Back to Psalm 103. So that argument that you had before you walked out the door this morning, get it right before God, get it right before them, because there's no guarantee of tomorrow. He forgives all of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. No, who have you got a grudge against? Where's that bitterness, that unforgiveness? Let it go. Give it to him, because you're only hurting yourself at the end of the day. Not them. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What's your weak spots? What's those spots that the devil knows he can come and push and you go whoosh? That robs us, that comes to steal and destroy. Because actually, God's there in that. He delivers us from evil. The gates of hell cannot prevail against him. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Forever and ever, for eternity. Amen. So when we don't know what to pray, or we're kind of, you know, heads with life going on around, go back to the Lord's Prayer. The youth, many years ago, I can remember taking them to the farm, and as part of the weekend, we were looking at the Lord's Prayer. What does it mean? No, because we get used to saying it, don't we? But what actually does it mean? And then they were given an hour to go off individually with God and go through the Lord's Prayer. And they were like, at least it's going to take me a minute. And I'm like, I challenge you to trust and be open to the Holy Spirit. And when they came back, some of them hadn't got beyond Our Father, because He just wowed them in that hour with what that meant, you know, and who He was to them. And I was like, oh, phew, thanks, God. Because, you know, there's always that risk, isn't there? So prayer involves some stuff. And we haven't got time to go through it, because otherwise we'd be here all day. Right? But we need to tune in to God. We need to tune in to Him. I'm sorry, Lord. You know, things get in the way between us and God, don't they? I know they do with me. So talk to Him about them. Tell Him you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for His strength. You know, Jesus died to take away our sins. And He's risen. So that gives us power for living. I haven't got to just kind of stumble through. That's part of my learning curve in this season. You know, need to tune in for the benefits of those who might be listening but not have the slides. I'm going to read out the scriptures and you can look them up in your own time. Luke 18, verses 9 to 14, and Isaiah 1, 15 to 18. We need to worship Him. Psalm 145. Ephesians 5, 18 to 20, 1 Corinthians 14, 14 to 17. I love you, Lord. I worship you. Now, praise Him for His power, His knowledge, His justice, His love. The list goes on, doesn't it? Again, if we're struggling in that, get into Psalms full of praise for Him. Thanksgiving, Psalm 100, verse 4, and Psalm 147, verses 7 to 9. God's goodness to me, I need to be grateful for it. I need to be grateful for His goodness to you. When I'm hearing the God stories, now that gives me an opportunity to celebrate in His goodness and His greatness towards you. Praying, asking in the name of Jesus, John 16. Oh no, asking, let's go back a step. Matthew 6, 5 to 15. No, asking in the name of Jesus. It's not some magical words to tag on to the end. We are doing a task in the name of the King, with all the authority of the King behind us to carry out that task. I don't have any righteousness of my own, but I come to the Father with all the righteousness being made right before God and authority of Jesus. And the Father hears His Son. So in that gives me comfort, because if He hears the Son, then He's going to hear me, because His Son is in me. So we pray in His name. Praying in the name of Jesus, John 16, 23 to 24. Praying in the name of the Holy Spirit, Romans 8, 26 to 27. Now, God has a heart that He wants to share with us. He wants to reveal to us. He wants to use you to pray about stuff that is on His heart. But guess what? When we get before Him, He begins to reveal that to us. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. We know the will of God by reading the Bible, don't we? But the Holy Spirit shows us how to pray in a particular situation. And pray in faith, James 1, 5 to 8 and 5, 13 to 18. Now, believe God. Doubt, enemy's biggest weapon. Hate it. And it doesn't bring answers to my prayers. And then listen. Communication is a two-way thing. So give God time to speak to you. And then the challenge is to do what He says. So God's passionate about us. He delights in us. He's a jealous God. He wants as much of our time, energy, thoughts, feelings as we're prepared to give Him. He doesn't force Himself upon us. He patiently waits for us to turn our faces towards Him. He never leaves us. Never abandons us. But actually, you know, do we chat to someone who's focused elsewhere? I don't. No, if I'm talking to someone, I want them to be focused on me. I don't want them off somewhere else and involved in some other activity unless I'm doing that with them. I kind of think sometimes it's the same with God. No, when our minds, our thoughts, our actions are focused elsewhere, but once we stop, even for a few seconds, there He is. There the Holy Spirit is. So let's put ourselves into the hands of God, as the picture says on the slide. And let's use prayer as the steering wheel rather than the spare wheel that we go to in an emergency. And prayer, that chatting with God, comes in many forms, doesn't it? I love Psalm 30. Father, thank you for your favour, grace and mercy. I choose to be aware of your goodness and many blessings. I choose to meditate on your love and look for your hand at work in every area of my life, in Jesus' name. I have a choice in that. So I might set aside some deliberate time to pray. I'm not talking about quiet time. It might be daily, weekly, monthly, where I come before him and I start worshipping him. I give him thanks for who he is and what he does and what he's done. But there are those seasons in life, aren't there, when actually we can feel like there's nothing to give thanks for. Let's be honest. Life in all of its toughness and distractions can sometimes sweep us off our feet. But if we have life in us, if we're drawing breath today, that's where we begin from, to start giving thanks. And then I had to smile because Wendy started off reading out my favourite psalm, and then somebody else brought confirmation of that. Then it came out a bit later as well, and I had to grin because, well, if it does work. And we've stopped in the middle. There we go. Right, okay. Psalm 103. A tiny bit of my God story is I remember after my head-on car collision, October 1994, engraved in my brain. In very serious pain, very limited mobility. I couldn't have done any of this. I couldn't have stood for more than a couple of minutes. Best position was lying down. And in that kind of circumstance, I'm in my final year of uni, I'm studying agricultural business management, I'm going to go off and work on the safaris, and actually I can't do anything. And God challenged me to give thanks in those circumstances. And man, I can't say what my first thoughts were, and my first words to him were arguing against that, but he just kept bringing it back to me. And he didn't just leave me to it, he gave me Psalm 103. And I didn't know till I was preparing for this that some refer to Psalm 103 as the benefits of knowing the King. I'm thinking, oh wow, you know, you were teaching me those benefits without me realising that's what you were doing. But when I first started, I would pray with gritted teeth and frustration, and it went a bit like this. Praise the Lord, all my soul. And in my head I'm thinking, yeah, right. God, you know, I can't lift anything, I can't groom the animals, I can't feed the animals, I can't even walk properly, I can't comb my hair, can't wash my hair, can't cut up any vegetables. The list just went on. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. Who forgives all of my sins, who heals all of my diseases, who crowns my life with his love and compassion, who redeems my life from the pit that I can soar like on the wings of an eagle. And it changed, and I changed. The circumstance hadn't, but you know, if you'd seen me, I wish I had photos from back then, it was horrific. But I changed, and I got to know my God and my King that little bit more. And suddenly I'll be giving thanks with excitement and joy, and I'll be thinking, well, actually, God, yeah, you know, I can't move, but actually, I'm alive. And when they looked and they saw the car, I shouldn't have been, because it was so squished up, how I got out of it. They don't know. It's a miracle. And I didn't have any of the broken bones that you're supposed to have, even though you could see where the steering wheel had gone in, and the seatbelt, and I've got a little bump on my head, where my head hit the windscreen. No, and I had none of the injuries internally that I should have had. And I started thinking like that, and it was like, well, okay, God, then I'm going to have to trust you. I'm going to have to trust your plans and purposes, that you're bringing about the best for me. And it just went on. And actually, if I hadn't have had that car accident, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be off somewhere else, or maybe not even here at all. But suddenly, God is meeting with me, and in that, what happens? My eyes are lifted from myself. And they are lifted to the hills where my help comes from. And it's about him then. It's not about me. And the Psalms are full of declarations about the goodness and the greatness of the Lord. So if you're not sure what to pray, or you don't feel like praying, You know, that's one of my biggest things. I still battle with chronic pain. I still battle with depression, blah, 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 blah. But actually, my God never changes, whether I feel it or not. Sometimes I'm affected by my feelings, but truth always prevails. God never changes. So prayer is my expressing to Him my love. I love Him. My respect and my trust. And into that came Samuel and Eli. Bit of a weird one. I'm like, God, where are you going with this? But again, you've got to trust him, haven't you? So we're not going to read out all the story. Samuel is in training. He's with Eli. And they've gone to bed. Should be sleeping. But Samuel keeps getting bugged by somebody shouting his name. And he thinks it's Eli. And we come into the story when it's happening for the third time. And we know it's the Lord, but Samuel doesn't know that yet. You know, that's the gift of having stories from before. So then the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you've called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went, he listened to the advice of someone who's, you know, a bit further on that journey than him, and he went off and he lay down. He didn't stop listening, although me, I'd be a bit tired if I'm interrupted in my sleep that much. He went and he lay down. "Go and lie down." And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, and the story goes on of all that God revealed to him of his heart. You might find that sometimes there's somebody bugging in your brain, on your heart, or it might be an event or a country, something that's going on, and it just will not go away. Don't be worrying over it. Perhaps that's God doing a little Samuel movement there, saying, "Wendy, now, I want you to be praying for this person, for that circumstance, for that event. Will you give me some of your time so I can use you to do that?" That's intercessory prayer. We are standing in the gap on behalf of somebody else. Perhaps you're awake at night because God wants to talk to you. And actually, you can't respond, "I haven't got time. Hello. We should be sleeping." Some of us get interrupted by other things, babies at the moment. But, you know, perhaps you're awake at night because God wants to talk to you and now he's given you a bit of time. September saw me coming back to work after a long bout off. You know, and while it was horrific being off, actually God gave me time. And in that time, he's then shown me more about him and that relationship. Okay, the Monday group have a little saying when it comes to prayer. Hope that I've remembered them correctly. I'm sure they will let me know if not. It's their three P's: patience, perseverance, and persistence. And we need those three P's to be part of our prayer life. So when we have that something in particular that we're wanting to seek him about, have a burden for, we can pray and we can fast. And very simply put in, fasting might be I decide not to eat a particular meal, because I'm going to spend that time chatting with God. It might be that I watch too much TV, or I'm on the Xbox a bit too much, and I'm feeling God saying, "You know what, just give me a half hour or an hour of that time that you spend on that, because actually that brings you pleasure, but what does it do long term? What does it do eternally? So just come and have a chat with me." And as people have already talked about, Bill and that, when we're having to wait for something, it can be tough, can't it? But God always answers, but not always in the way that we want him to answer. It's always a yes or a no. And if it's a no, it's because actually he's got better plans and purposes for us, whether we sometimes think that or not. Or wait. And I don't know about you, but I'm not that brilliant at waiting. Persistent prayer is a demonstration of faith in God, who, while at times may delay his answers, he will always act decisively and justly with respect to us. So when we're having to wait, you hold that in mind. He will always act justly and decisively. It's not that he hasn't heard. It's not that my prayer isn't significant or anything like that. When it comes to perseverance, go and read about the woman who kept knocking on the judge's door in Luke 18, verses 1 to 8. And Liz, for anyone who's into Facebook and the chat and all of that jazz, or YouTube, Chris, I can never say his surname, Valor, Crispy, he does a little 10-minute snippet in which he starts talking about prayer and he starts talking about a log and splitting a log. I don't know if you've ever tried to split a log with an axe, but it's flipping hard. And so he does a little story and little kind of analogy of splitting a log can be sometimes a bit like prayer. He didn't know, and so he talked about coming and just, you know, he thought you take the axe and you whack the bit of wood and hey presto, it splits apart. No. No, sometimes that bit of wood has to be whacked 10 times, 20 times, 100 times, whatever. The guy who was with him knew a lot more about wood than him, but thought, I'm just going to let him build up his muscle, because it's quite a physical thing. You know, taking the axe to, the films make it look so easy. It isn't. And then he starts talking to Chris about the log. No, that actually, it helps if you're hitting that log in the same place every time. Because what Chris was doing was kind of going around the log, know, and hitting it in different places, trying to find a weakness. But no, you hit it in the same place over and over again. And you don't choose a spot to whack it where there's a knot in the wood or a fault in the wood, because actually it doesn't work in quite. So it's this whole story. So go off and listen to it. But with persistence, that log splits. And when you get to know the log, when you get to know your tool a little bit more, he kind of steps back from the log and he has a look at it. And from the grain of the wood, he knows how to position the wood. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. He looks at a situation and he positions us. That when we start praying, we can be splitting those logs. We're nearly there, honest. There was a guy that I knew, well, I didn't know him personally, but I was here of back in my 20s, called Paul Yonggi Cho. Amazing man of God out in China, prayer mounting and all that, if you haven't heard about him. But when he first began, he saw that he needed a desk, a chair and a bike. Those three things to serve his people well. And he had learned, you know, you come to God with your needs. With thanksgiving, bring your requests before him. And his English was brilliant, because he would go round saying to everybody, I'm pregnant with a desk, a chair and a bike. You know, and we laughed at first when you're hearing this, because you think, well, not quite that, but actually he was right. Because you women that have been pregnant, you know that you can't keep your legs crossed, don't you? You know that at some point in that process, something is going to happen and something is going to come out and you can't do anything about it. So there's that expectation that an event is going to happen. But in that then, you're not just sitting around, are you? You're getting ready for it. You might be doing a bit of exercise. I know some people, you know, we're trying to remain, that keep their fitness and all of that jazz. But you get a room prepared. You have dreams, don't you, for that baby when it comes. So, in a way, he was right. He was pregnant because he knew that his God had heard. He'd been praying. He'd got that peace from God that surpasses all understanding. He thought, my God has heard, so I don't need to ask him for those things anymore because they're on their way. I can get on with praying about other things. And that's what he did. And lo and behold, along came the desk, the chair, and the bike. So, what is it that God's saying in your heart? What is it that he's wanting you to pray about, to pray for? Now, what is it that you think he hasn't heard, but actually perhaps he has, and you're just in that waiting period? Because he's awesome. Now, sometimes we don't know what to pray, but we know that we want to pray. That's the human nature of us. Again, it's where Holy Spirit can help. Already mentioned Romans 8, 26 to 27. So likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to to the will of God. I don't know if you've ever had those moments in your prayer life where you are groaning. I've never given birth, but I swear in the spiritual realm, I have given birth many times. Because that groaning, I've been on the floor, and there's been physical pain that's come with it. But then as I've just allowed God to move and I've prayed, it's suddenly as if something's been birthed in the spiritual realm. Weird. That's enough experience for me. So the Holy Spirit helps us. Do you have that gift of tongues? It's a gift. Use it. You know, use that to pray in the Spirit. God understands exactly what is going on, even if we might not. He does. There was a monk, I can't remember his name, and run out of time to Google it really, many years ago, who would say that even during the washing up, it was his act of service and worship to his God. And he could be giving thanks and praying whilst doing it. And that always struck a chord. It challenged me back as a student. So how many of us have that travel commute to work? No, mine's an hour, roughly, to get there and then to get back. No, in that time, do you have the radio on listening to pop tunes? Or do you have your ears or the CD plugged on with a worship song coming out? Are you using that time to chat with your father? Oh, God, you know. Rob, I don't know if for those of you who are on Facebook, for those not, I think we need to bring in some of the photos and show him. But Rob's journey to work involves often cycling over the Chase. And he takes amazing photos of sunrises, sunsets, all sorts. Now that boosts my soul because it gets me thinking about my awesome dad. So thank you for posting them. You know, he won't necessarily know that. But that's a wow factor for me that gets me thinking about who he is. So my commute time, I guard it. I actually am loath to share my car with anybody when I'm going to work, apart from the odd occasional one or two privileged people, because actually that is my time with my daddy. And if I've got to give a colleague a lift, you know, from work, they want to chat about the and all this, that, and the other, and I'm just thinking, actually, God. And in my head, I'm thinking, no, can I not? And then I think, no, you know, it's a time that I've got with them unexpectedly, so bless them, listen, chat to them. So what could God be asking you to do? Do you like nature, going for walks? You know, what in the natural world helps you to relax? Because there's got to be something, whether it's music, something you see, something you smell. Because guess what? God's made that for you, to bless you, that you relax. That we can chat with God, whether externally, you know, verbally or in our minds. Might look a bit crazy if I'm walking along the high street praying out loud, but actually I've got friends who do that. Some of my best moments with Jesus are when I'm walking by the sea with him or by a river. Here I have to content myself with that there is a forest. It is an amazing forest. It's just not quite the same as being by the sea, but I'll let him off that one. Some of my easiest times to listen then are when I'm out doing that. So how's your prayer life? Now, do you need to ring fence a time where you just go off, even for a day or an overnighter, and just think, do you know what, God, that's going to be me and you time, not putting anything else into the diary? Do you involve God in your work-life decisions that you face? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to help you with those relationships in that school and that college work when you're being bullied? No. Prayer, it's that gift that enables us to chat to God about anything at any time. We're called to pray about our families, our government, our leaders. Do we talk to God about our communities? What is on his heart to bring or do in and through us? In Rugeley and the surrounding areas. You know, I am human in my natural strength. I will struggle. God has perfect timing, never early, never late. It takes a little patience and faith, but it's worth the wait. I don't know anyone else who's worth the wait for. Haven't met them yet. No, haven't met that thing yet that is worth waiting for in the same way that my Jesus is. You know, I love that I don't get a good yelling at. Again, somebody was saying it earlier and I'm thinking, oh God, because I haven't invited him into my day or given thanks for the food I get to eat today, for my heating, electricity the roof over my head. I get to try again and again and again. And God's patience never runs out, does it? What about your patience? I know what mine's like, especially when I haven't eaten and I'm a bit tired. So our challenge is to be walking daily full of the Holy Spirit, dressed in that full armour of God, praying in the Spirit on all occasions, because that's actually our one weapon. Now, all the rest of the armour, it's for defence, for protection, isn't it? The sword's the only one that I get to do a bit of a stab and a jab with, so I want to use it well. Perhaps you struggle to pray, whether individually, corporately. Perhaps you're longing for the confidence and courage to pray out loud in fellowship groups, mealtimes together. Now ask the Holy Spirit to empower you. Spend time with others who seem to have what you're after, you know, in their prayer life, in that relationship. Ask them, how do you do it? Where did you start? Can I get together with you? Can I watch how you do it? Can I learn from you? That's discipleship. That's iron sharpening iron. That's how we grow. That's how we humble ourselves. And in that, God can then come and help us. I came across the picture of the couch, human being, not human doing. Now, if there's one thing that God's been highlighting, it's that being rather than that doing. And Jesus set us the example, didn't he? He'd learnt to go away and be with his Father. And then he merely went and did what Father told him to do. And that's our challenge. I'd rather focus on being than doing. As I focus on being, the doing comes and I feel more complete and open to whatever God has for me. If I come out of that being, I'm not doing it in my own strength, am I? I'm doing it in his. So let's be a people that be before God, and then let's go and do all that he's called us to do. Because then we'll see him glorified. We'll see people saved. We'll see people delivered, healed, added to our family. Communities with hope, a safe refuge, that we're that city on a hill. Lastly, Jude 20:21 calls us to persevere. I don't know about you, but sometimes in my prayer life that can lag a little bit. And he says this, but you, beloved, you know, us, beloved of the Most High, building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. So let's be a people empowered by the Holy Spirit to pray and have life in all of its fullness. So I just want to pray for a few minutes. Closing prayer and then over to Dave and whatever else. Father, I thank you that you take frail, fragile, empty vessels like us and you come and you meet with us. And Lord, in that jumble this morning of what you are saying, Father, I pray that you just highlight the relevant spots of paint to each of us and that we would just go away knowing a little bit more who we are in you. And who you are and the good things that you have for us. Amen.